Welcome, everybody, to Shitty Cowboys. Yeehaw! It's been a while, everybody.
Yeehaw! Sure has.
Yeehaw! It has been about 2 months. We apologize. It was right off the bat. That's what she said. Yeah, we had birthdays, Halloween parties, stomach bugs, and it has been a while. So this should be a really fun recap from one of you two of what happened last time.
Well, I guess by tradition and appointment and the fact that I haven't been drinking shine, I'll be the one doing the recap today. So, all right, we'll go back to the very beginning since it's been such a long time. We came back from our last adventure to find that there was a dead dwarf lady lying dead on the floor of our cabin at I See Your Point. As we was deciding to, well, bury the lady, we was apprehended in our home by the sheriff of,
Copper Reach.
I always get confused. There's so many of these dang towns.
Yeah, no, we got so
it
many.
It wasn't Wisp Gulch, it was Copper Reach. So the sheriff of Copper Reach, Peter Wildhog Buck.
Yeah, you got it.
His name, Sheriff Peter Wildhog Buck, and his some of his other deputies came and apprehended us with the dead body as we were about to carry her out and bury her. It turns out she was, in fact, one of his deputies who had gone missing, and it looked like very much we had been framed for her murder. We eventually agreed to come along quietly as long as we got a bubble bath because we hadn't had a chance to freshen up after returning from our previous adventure. So we got a bubble bath off the sheriff, and then we got a free ride all the way to Copper Reach, where we were then locked in a cell with under the supervision of Brandon, the friendliest but least intelligent deputy on the force there in Copper Reach, who the remainder of the constabulary went off drinking, I think, left us with Brandon. Brandon, we made friends with, and then convinced to let out of the cell, we, through a series of childish games.
Yep.
Managed to break into the sheriff's office, ransack his desk, chain Brandon to the inside of the cell, take his gun and knife, and then leave on the asshat. One of the things we found in the sheriff's office was a map to an evidence of financial fudgery. Ooh, there's one thing I can't abide is financial fudgery. By the way, fellas, did you guys start recording on?
No, I was after the recap. Oh. I didn't want to interrupt you. I was going to say let's all go ahead and hit record because we do a podcast too.
Yeah. Well, I will conclude my recap and then we'll go from there. We found evidence of financial fudgery, which I cannot abide, and we also found a map to what was potentially going to be a mine. We thought maybe. We decided to lay low till the morning. We went and checked, and it was in fact like an encampment, like a fortified bandit camp, essentially full of no goods and bad men. We decided the best approach was to be to act like a, you know, kind of like a Trojan horse kind of thing. We go up there and we pretend that we was looking for work because we was bandits, and then miraculously they bought that. We found out that the sheriff was, in fact, holed up inside the tunnel network there in the caves. But on the way there, we went into their armory, which we had been given a free pass to, and completely restocked all our gear, which had been previously taken from us.
Yes.
That was a stroke of luck. And then, just as we was moving our way deeper into that there mine, which wasn't really a mine, as I say, it's more like an elaborate cave network full of bastards, we got to a little fella running around with a bunch of posters, wanted posters with our faces on, and again, somehow managed to convince him to stop, and then not only convince him to stop, but also to give us the wanted posters before he posted up any more of them, because, oh no, they's all wrong, they got the description all wrong, and that the fellas don't look anything like those. And then we threw them into the water that was inside the cave, so they were ruined, and there was no other chance of people recognizing our faces. Also, I believe the sheriff was in the shack or within the cave alone. Maybe
you don't know. You just know that this person with the posters mentioned the sheriff was in there.
All right. He's in there with a printing press or some shit. So, yeah. All right, yeah. So that was about it, I think.
Yeah, that was really good. You guys did roll a lot of really good kind of persuasion and or maybe intimidation checks last game. So we got a lot of ground covered. Let's go ahead and hit record, too, if you guys are ready.
Yes, please.
All right. 1, 2, 3, record. And that will be good. I will be able to just use that. Okay. Yeah, I noticed that like 10 seconds into the recap. I was like, oh, shit. yeah, so we'll pick up right there. We'll pick up with you all are standing in the middle of this mine. You have seen quite a lot of people kind of wandering about. You guys do have your faces covered. That's one thing you made a point of, that you like bandanas up so that you can see your guys' eyes. Yeah. Yep. So however you guys want to proceed from here, that will be on you. Let me get some tabletop audio going. I knew I forgot something.
Well, I mean, the thing is, we go in there, guns blazing. We're going to have to fight our way back out again. On the other hand, if we kill him, we still got a whole town full of people who think that we killed that dwarf lady who they'll really like. But if we don't bring him back in alive, like, how are we going to get him out of here? If we're going to get him out alive, I don't know. Maybe we kill him and just take over. Say we just, you remember, Gumbo and Job, these are the ones in charge now.
Like it, boy.
I don't know. I figured that this guy's got to die one way or the other. Fuck it.
You're the boss.
Fuck it. I don't know what. I said, if we come this far, ain't no sense just turning around going back now. All the pieces already here. He can't get back out this unless he's got some kind of secret hole. I ever tell you about the time I lived with the moles? Mm-mm. Well, I spent about 6 months living down underground with the moles there. And, you know, it was quite welcoming. Initially, the holes was too small, so I could mainly just, like, stick my nose in, and then they would, like... And they would come up and they would leave me offerings of like little grubs and things for me to eat. And I would like suck them up my nose and then regurgitate them for the babies. Now, the moles, eventually, they come to live in what would have been like a cavern for them, because I managed to get myself real small and then burrow into their mole holes and get them real large. And... you know, I spent, like I say, 6 months underground living with the moles. Eventually, of course, hunger got the better of me, and I ate all the moles. And
oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Fortunately, I hadn't learned how to speak with animals then, so their cries for mercy were completely lost on me. And then having eaten my fill, I emerged into the world again, you know, as a more rounded individual and with a greater perspective on life and a deeply held desire to never live underground again. So I figure what I'll do, we'll go in there, we'll just bullshit our way through whatever situation happens like we normally do. And hopefully I'll be able to do my accent again. I don't feel like I got it quite right.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Well, yeah, we're just going to fucking mosey on in then. Right. Walk up to the cabin.
Jorunda, do you just get a small idea of a story?
Yeah, how do you do that?
And just fucking go with it.
I just start talking.
And yeah. Hey, that time I lived with the moles. Oh, fuck. Now I got to.
Yeah, I open my mouth and then when it closes again, the story's finished.
It's amazing.
Well, yeah, heading into this room,
Like I said, it's like it's this whole structure is very odd since it's in a caved dome, and then this is—I mean, it's kind of ramshackle looking. I mean, probably just because of the fact that it's in a goddamn cave. But sure. Yeah, you guys are able to open the door, and quickly you'd be able to see that moving into the room, your gaze is kind of mostly probably drawn to this large desk that's in the middle of the room. There's a figure seated behind it, feet up on the desk. He's got some papers in his hands that you think are, I don't know. You can't really see what they are from your point of view. There is a big machine off on the far right side of the room. It's got, you know, stacks of paper and these, like, stamp letters and things. And there is a very spindly-looking man that is, like, furiously, like, stamping down. And his glasses are getting fogged up from all the steam from the machine puffing up into his face. And then you see that man at the desk lower those sheets of paper. And you see that it is, in fact... Sheriff Wild Hog Buck. Did I get it, Jerundu? Did I miss? I think Sheriff. There's a Peter in there.
Peter Wild Hog Buck.
Peter Wild Hog Buck. I knew there was a Peter.
Possessor of the world's most masculine name.
Yeah, yeah. And he looks at you too, and he takes a seat off the desk. He's like, "Well, I be damned. I did not.
You sure will.
Yeah, Brandon. Brandon did it. Let you out. Did you trick him?
Well, it weren't exactly difficult.
Yeah.
Almost like you wanted us to make a break for it. I would have thought maybe even you wanted us to get violent with it just to incriminate us a little bit more.
No, I really just thought that, I don't know, he's been doing a lot better these days. I thought that maybe finally he'd be able to be a little bit more trust to take on a little bit more. What about Brendan? Or Brenda, rather. Sorry, man, it's so dang complicated when the deputies have almost the same dang name. Y'all see... Have you seen her? No?
No.
Alright. That should make things a little less complicated. Who all saw you guys leave the jail? Anybody?
I don't reckon nobody saw us. Except Brandon.
Okay. So let's see here. You all tricked the deputy, busted out of jail. Let's see. I can't exactly. He's like getting to his feet now. He's like, I won't be able to. I'll have to move your body. Say you all ambushed me out while I was looking for you while you guys broke out. I'll say that I found you all in the plains to the south. Okay. All right. Well, I can make this happen still.
You know, that's a real good suggestion. I might make a counteroffer and rifle bolt him in the face.
So this room's kind of big. I still had him kind of, you know, back a little bit behind the desk. So okay. We could do a...
I like leap the desk and then like try and tackle
him. Yeah,
to the ground,
I was going to say that we may do a...
you could do one of those quick draw things.
What is D&D? I was pulling up his stats to see... maybe we'll do a quick draw. I forget how the quick draws work in our campaign.
It was a charisma check first, I think, and then whoever won that carrot got like an advantage carried forward or something.
Yeah, let's do that. His charisma is a +4. He is a very charismatic sheriff. That is one thing he's got going for him.
Okay. Oh, come on, bring me my character sheet up. Sorry, just waiting for this to load.
He got a 15, 11 plus 4. He is actually on his feet now. And, yeah, just, like, before, like, while this is even happening, like, he's still, like, kind of just, like, mid-monologue a bit. Yeah, what'd you get?
Modified, come on. 16.
You beat him by one.
One modified, two.
So yeah, that's kind of the sizing each other up portion that mm-hmm. will give you advantage more so on him being a little bit shaken going yeah. into the this next stage. Now, this is supposed to be for like, yeah, quick draw like duels, but we can also use it for something like this where it's more of just, you know, he was getting to his feet. He's obviously like trying to plan how he's going to talk this out with like the townsfolk on exactly explaining what happened and stuff. As you are kind of just walking towards him and towards his desk. And now it will, I'm guessing this is going to be it's something Dex.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it is sleight of hand or just straight up Dex mod.
I guess
he doesn't actually have a sleight of hand. He just has a Dex mod. So I guess I'll just use Dex mod. Yeah. Ooh, with a +4, he got a 7.
I got a 7 as well, also with a +4.
Ooh. Oh, but you have advantage.
Yes, because I sized you up real good. So, yeah. So now what?
Oh, was that a 7 with advantage?
Yes.
Oh shit. Yeah. Okay, yeah, so he keeps talking as you're approaching. He's like, it sure is a shame about old Edna, huh? Y'all, I'm guessing y'all started piecing it together now, and, like, he's starting to kind of back up a little bit towards the wall. He's not super far from the wall, but he's, like, he stood up and is kind of, like, backing up as you're approaching.
You should hold up there, buddy.
And let's do a... I guess we'll just do a roll-off?
Sure, well,
Sean rolled initiative. He's getting ready. He got a 10 this time. Not a whole lot better.
I didn't even mean to do that.
13 this time.
Okay, well, it's probably good that you did do that, Sean. And you got a 19 on your initiative. Holy
yeah, I'm
going
to keep it.
He says, Edna also got a little bit too close to my mining operations here I got going on. And as soon as he says that, yeah, Jambalaya, you like step up on the desk, just as he is, trying to reach back, and you see this string, that goes up. And then it's on like a little hook, like a little loop, and then it goes further down outside of the room. And you hit him with the butt of your rifle.
What a way.
And what does that do?
It does 1d6 plus 3. I think it's just a club or something.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's worth, yeah. By the way, yeah, those new emotes are so fucking choice.
That's 5 bludgeoning.
Okay, I should probably have a notepad up for. Okay, yeah, you bludgeon him in the face, and his nose starts to bleed a bit as he recoils back. The person that was working on the printer press, looks over at you all now for like the first time after he hears that, you know, rifle on flesh. And he pushes his glasses up to his nose. He says, well, fuck this. And he takes off running and is going to try to leave. And yeah, let's go ahead and roll initiative.
You got a 19.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa, Jambalaya also. Oh no, Jambalaya got a 20. Yeah. It rolled twice or something.
Yeah.
Oh, but this dude got a 22 somehow.
Son of a bitch.
Well,
wow, a 19, 20, and 22. Pretty wild initiatives right there. What he's first going to do is he is going to reach back and grab that that string and pull down on it. And then he is kind of while he's like reeling back from this rifle butt, he's gonna say, "Well, aren't you lucky you get to die by the hands of Peter Wildhog Buck, the cowboy with the best name in this side of West Hollow." And he is going to... Of course, I got all of his actions here. He's going to try to... He's got a revolver. He's going to try to shoot you in the leg, Jambalaya.
Oh, no.
Thirteen hit Jambalaya?
No, it does not.
Oh man, that would have been cool. This dude's got some like cool like bonus, like the leg shot, and he's got some cool shit that he can do. But unfortunately, yeah, I think he's still kind of a little, you know, he's seeing a little red still from that rifle, but he's still a little kind of dazed. So he'll just pull that string, fire at off towards your legs, but we'll miss, and then we'll go to you, Jambalaya.
Okay, well, I guess the first thing I'm going to do is agitate my pocket wasps. Like, come on, boys! Looks like we're going to have ourselves a good old-fashioned Donnybrook. So pocket wasps come flying out, sort of while fumbling with his rifle. He just smears the jam that he keeps in his pockets to entice the wasps all over. all over Peter Wildhog Buck just to piss off the wasps, which is a bonus action, I believe. I'll just double check that. It's been a while. Pocket wasps now.
So just if,
sorry,
in case anybody needs to, like, you know, have anything to play with in the room, it's a pretty big room, probably like, mm-hmm. Trying to think how big 20 feet is. I'm really big with size estimates. I would think probably like 20 foot square room. It's got this big desk that you have now. I guess you're probably, are you still like standing on the desk, Jambalaya?
I guess so, yeah. So
yeah. Yeah, you're standing up on this desk. Far right is the big printing press that now the guy with glasses has now fled the room. There's like two chairs in front of the desk, and then there's like cabinets and like bookshelves of like paperwork and kind of probably like financial bullshit. There are two windows on the back, behind the desk, up on that back wall, and you could see out them, and it's just like fucking mine back there, so it's not like the greatest view or anything, but yeah.
So now that I've agitated the swarm, I'm smearing jam all over the guy with my left hand, with the right on my rifle, I'm gonna take my single shot with that. I'm going to use my sharpshooter, I think it is, feat, where I take -5 to the hit to get a flat +10 to damage if it hits. So
just going for broke.
Yeah. Come on now. It's going to be on 20, cooperating with me now.
11 to hit.
Oh, dear me.
Is it even 11, or is it 1?
No,
one?
It would not be 11. 31. It would be, what would that be now? 6.
6. Yeah, you, I mean, I think it's just, it's too close quarters, right? You're too close for this long rifle. You can't quite get it, the right beat on this guy, even from standing up on this desk. As you fire the shot that rings out, and you can now, like, it's kind of deafening in a mine and in this, you know, room size. That rifle shot's probably, like, just blasted out everybody's ears. And also, as soon as the sound kind of dies away, you notice that, A, that was super loud, and probably, like, anybody in this mine heard that. And then... A moment later, you realize that you think you hear footsteps coming down from the cave system that you guys came down before. Sean Marston.
Okay. I'm going to stab this guy twice.
Are you going to run up and jump up on the desk with Jambalaya and just standing on this big desk?
Yes.
That's right. That's how we do.
Yeah, I guess I'll use action surge.
Back to back.
Oof.
Butts to butts.
Look at that. Boy. Look at that. I told you.
Wait a second. Wait a second. A 25. How many of those rolls were we supposed to do? That was a 25, two. A 20, and a 21.
Just two.
Okay. Just the first two. Okay.
The first one would be a crit. Crit on a 19 because the spirit of the Untamed West.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That is very true. So the first one is going to be a crit. So you can click that dagger damage again. You could probably just click the pink ward dagger. Yeah. Okay, so we'll do... So it's going to be 14 plus 6, 20 total damage from these two stabs into this dude. And
each foot.
Yeah, he's... What was that?
I just stabbed each foot.
Okay, so you would have to get like super low down. This is a big desk.
Like you'd have to get over like the desk.
Pretty much, yeah. Lena, you're like bracing on his shoulder. Like, sorry, man, I got to get in here real quick. And just like stab both of his feet for a total of 20 damage. We'll say 10 foot to each foot, just so that it's you know, it's
God
it's,
damn, those are yeah. some damaged feet right there, boy.
Yeah, that's bad. That does bring up the question about like how health in D&D works. Is it like how much blood you got or what? Because that's a lot of damage to feet. Back to the top of the initiative order. Now the footsteps outside are getting louder and the door bust open and you see just kind of like a ragtag squad of mercenaries all kind of like clambering into the room. We'll say that like two get into the room, but you do see like more outside still kind of piling into the room. And then Sheriff Peter Wild Hog Buck is going to I like this a lot. He didn't do very well with the leg shot, so instead he is going to, you know how you've seen all the old Western movies where they fan the hammer and just like fire off rounds back to back like super quick. He's going to do that. He's going to fan the hammer. Both of you need to make a dex saving throw, please. Sean Marston and Jambalaya. He's just pretty much spraying you guys with bullets, which, you know what? Oh!
Oh, okay. Yeah, I felt that was
I don't know why both of your guys now are rolling twice.
Weird.
So it's kind of two sides of the coin. We've got Jambalaya with a natural one, plus four or five. And then we've got Sean Marston with a dirty 20. Jambalaya, you are going to take 13 points of damage as these bullets. I think you probably like blocked Sean Marston and like took all the
you
bullets
leave my
instead
boy.
Of yeah. And so Sean Marston Thank doesn't get hit by any of the bullets. It's just Jambalaya.
Ain't too bad. The old chainmail poncho mitigated most of that damage, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's all he's got this round. We won't have the people who bust in the door go quite yet, and then we'll go back to you, Jambalaya.
Well, I'll go try that again. So I cycle the action on my repeating Winchester-type rifle thing, and then we'll try again. Right, so that is a...
Holy shit, dude.
That is a crit, but I was also going to take the... Well, it doesn't matter because it was a natural 20 anyway. So I also was going to take the sharpshooter feat, same thing again. So that is a plus 10 on that. Also, plus a D6 because of the agitated swarm.
So, because of the fucking the jelly. Because of the jelly, you can say it. fuck. That's probably going to be single-handedly the most damage. Okay. Just, you just, want a one on the
just
wasp.
Just a one from the wasps.
One fucking murder hornet stings this guy.
So, what was that? 18, 26, 18.
32, 33. Wait, 18 plus 14, right? Plus yeah. one?
Yeah.
And then plus 10?
Oh, yeah, plus 10. So, yeah, 43.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I was going to say, you do the math, please.
Oh, yeah, so 12 plus 6, 18, plus 8 is 26, plus 6 is 32, plus 1 is 33, plus 10 is 43 points of damage from my big-ass rifle, boy.
Yeah, this is quite a shot that you get off on him. And he's reeling back. He slams into the wall from that. And he's like trying to like, he's only got one hand, like one gun, right? One revolver. He's like trying to like plug as many holes as he can to like stop the bleeding. Sean Marston, you're next. He's also, his feet hurt real bad.
I'm going to stab his feet again.
Just severing his toes to make a necklace out of.
Damn, I cannot believe how fast you guys are fucking this guy up. Eighteen and a ten. Okay, so only one of those is gonna hit. So only four. You want the right or the left foot, Sean? This might make a crucial point, a difference in the campaign.
His right foot, big toe.
Okay, all right. You sever the right foot, big toe.
He's screwed, dude.
We go.
He can't walk.
We go back up to the top of the initiative order. This dude is looking really fucked up, really bad. He just says, "Well, as much as I'd like to stay," he's like grimacing. He's got blood coming out of his mouth, his nose, bullet wounds. He's like, I do believe I have a place. I gotta be somewhere. And he's gonna try to jump out the window. I do think.
Is that advisable?
yeah.
Well,
sir, I don't know if I would do that if I was you.
It's gonna be bad for him for a number of reasons. One of which is, I mean, there's no reason you guys would not both get an attack of opportunity against him as he turns to try to jump out this window.
Well, in that case, just shoot him in the butt with my rifle.
In the butt?
Right,
oh,
in his,
God.
Right in his buttocks. That's 21 to hit.
21's going to hit. What's those two different damages? One says 8, one says 10.
I think it's...
I'm going to shoot his asshole, too.
Oh, it's been set up as if it's been versatile, so it's got, like, one...
Okay.
It rolls a D8, and then it rolls a D12 as well for some reason, so it should be the 10.
Not the 8. Okay.
I'm going to shoot him, too.
All right, Sean Marston.
It pulls through weird from beyond, D&D Beyond for some reason, I think, because it's a custom item.
That 17's also going to hit him. So
he and died as the man with three assholes.
Yeah, so he's gonna take a total of 15 points of damage into his back and aka his butt. As you guys fire, and he just it's not very action movie-esque as he jumps through this window. It's more like him like turning, going to like, you know, bust through it. Really cool, and then he gets shot a bunch and kind of more like just stumbles into it. It breaks and he like hits the floor on the other side. Hear him get to the feet, like he's still like, I'll have him use some movement to get to the window, bust out, movement to stand up, and then yeah, I don't think you guys can see him from the desk. But you know that he's very, very wounded. I am going to now have the people that have been busting into this area. Now we'll have them take an action. I'm doing kind of just like the swarm kind of action so that I don't have to roll for like a shit ton of mercenaries and stuff. And I'm gonna go for this. I'm gonna have them roll. I'll do Sean Morrison first, then Jambalaya. They're gonna have the same roll. It's just gonna be kind of like a flurry of bullets going. Right. Sean Morrison, a 10. I don't think the 10 can't hit you. Surely a 10 can't hit you. A dirty 20, Jambalaya. Jambalaya is like taking all the hits tonight.
Yeah, I haven't been hit.
Ain't nobody hurt my boy. Oh, god dang.
All right. Well, Jambalaya, this is, to me, it seems like a lot of damage. I really don't have, my finger on the pulse on how much health you guys have anymore. I have completely forgotten. So I don't know how this is going to affect you. But it is supposed to be 27 points of damage.
Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty substantial hit. So
are you good?
Yeah, I'm fine. But okay. That was a big hit.
That was a big hit, yeah.
I'm on 36 out of 76 hit points.
Okay. Yeah, so that was just kind of like six cowboys busting in the door and all firing shots, and somehow you blocking all the shots again from Sean Morrison. Sean Morrison, is just fine. And Jambalaya is getting just loaded with bullets in his chainmail poncho.
You're too pretty to die, Job.
Job and Gumbo.
Gumbo Peterson.
We will now go back to Jambalaya. Jambalaya, what are you going to do? Now you got kind of two different threats. You got the fleeing sheriff, and you've got the cowboys that just busted in, the mercenaries.
I think we're going to... Well, let me resume my accent for a second there. I think what we're going to do is I'm going to... In the finest spirit of the lawman, I am going to go in hot pursuit of Sheriff Wildhawk Buck, and I am going to dive through that window he just went through with athletic grace, like a panther, like Captain Cougar.
As you do bust through this window, you do realize that you guys are on the first floor still, right? So it's like not like a big fall or anything. You just jump through, and
I ain't the first time I jump through a ground floor window. It's fine.
And so you jump through this window and you see that Sheriff has mounted a horse, has not yet taken off or anything, but he is on a horse that was outside of this window. Seems like this was kind of his escape plan from this office if need be.
Okay.
But you guys definitely wounded him and slowed him down enough that he unfortunately did not get to actually take off on the horse yet.
All right, I'm gonna cast Speak with Animals.
Fuck. Don't. Oh my god. Okay.
All right. So I've cast Speak with Animals. Hey there, horsey. You know, just hold up for a second there. Turns out this fella on your back has been talking real bad shit about your mama.
I want to hear these yo mama jokes.
First, before we have to determine how well this goes, let's do a persuasion check, Jambalaya. A persuasion check for this horse.
Oh, five.
A five. Hey, you live by the dice, you die by the dice.
Yeah.
So it might not be the best Yo Mama joke if you do want to throw out the Yo Mama joke this dude said to the horse. Maybe if, hey, you know what? If it's a good horse, yo mama joke, we'll give you advantage.
That's pretty hard.
Surely you've got a horse yo mama joke in your back pocket to pull out.
Yo, hey horsey, yo mama's got fucked up knees because she's out there grazing.
Okay.
Getting ridden hard so much she's grazing.
Okay. Let's, you'll get advantage on this, and this is to convince the horse that that's what Sheriff Wildhog Buck said about this horse's mom.
You know what? So I'm going to give another go at that persuasion based on that fucking absolutely awful joke. You're a generous and wise man. How about an 11? An 11.
Okay. I don't feel like 11's enough to like stop it dead in its tracks. It still looks like it's, you know, it's like about to, he's like kicking it into motion, trying to get it to go. It's kind of dragging its feet a little bit. And it looks at you and says, I never met my mama.
Can I shoot it? Shoot the horse?
That might be right.
I was not ready for that voice.
And it's kind of like starting to like canter off and looking back at you. I don't know, my mama. She might be grazing out there. I don't know.
Fuck.
It hasn't full on sprinted out yet. Obviously like turn order and shit, but
God damn it.
Sean Marston, I think, unless Jumbly, you got anything else? I think that was your movement action.
That was everything, yeah.
Sean Marston, you saw your buddy jump out this window. You got these mercenaries that are firing shots at you.
I'm going to jump out the window and then shoot at the dude.
Shoot at the what?
At the dude.
I thought you said shoot at the, and you were thinking like, do I shoot the horse or do I shoot the guy? All right.
I think it's this mic. I don't know how close I need to be.
It might be like Zoom doing some like noise suppression shit.
All right.
But either way, go ahead and roll. I was gonna say I was gonna say since it's a moving target, you're gonna have disadvantage. It's still rolled twice, and you still got a 26 and then an 18. That 18 will still hit him. He's like, now the horse is starting to pick up speed, and he's like, see ya, suckers. And you fire a shot. 12 points. Let me check this real quick. Fuck. Yes. 12 points of damage. You shoot him as soon as he's like turned back to talk shit to you. And where do you hit him at? Because it's going to knock him off the horse.
Right in his spine.
Yeah, you hit him like right in the back as he's turning around towards you. And he drops off the horse. And the horse just kind of keeps like, kind of just like cantering off, you know, like a slow jog. And you don't see Sheriff Wildhog Buck move after that as soon as he hits the ground. And, I'm thinking now we'll go to, so there was the sheriff. Well, I mean, sheriff seems pretty dead. The mercenaries are going to, they're going to kind of like, three of them are going to go to the window that you guys jumped out, and three of them are going to go to the other window, and they're just going to start firing off shots at you guys, and it's just going to be like just smoke and broken glass from the window that hasn't been busted yet, and it is just going to be another just kind of shower of bullets. I forget if it was the plus four or the plus seven. It is a plus four, luckily. 18 for Sean Marston. I think Sean Marston might have just gotten hit. And then Jambalaya, thankfully, got a 7 to hit Jambalaya.
I got hit.
Yeah, Sean Marston, that is also going to be for 27 points of piercing damage as just this hail of bullets start to rain down on you.
Ouch.
And then we go to Jambalaya.
Well, is there anything that I can take cover behind? Like any like rocks or boulders or a bit of wall or anything?
Since we are in a mine or in a cave, there are stalagmites. Because we did have a pretty lengthy discussion about that on the last episode.
We've got that down pat, yeah.
Yeah, mites are on the ground. Tites are on the top.
Mm-hmm.
What's the reason? Forget.
Stalactite are on the top. Stalagmites. The only thing we found was stalagmites might be on the ground, but that doesn't fucking work because you go say stalagmites might be on the top.
Stalactites, hold on tight.
Yeah, and top, tight, top. Yeah. Might grow up to the ceiling. Yeah, like the might thing doesn't really work. So the stalactites are the only one I can remember is they are up top.
So yes, stalagmites. So I will duck behind a stalagmite. And
you're going to have to make me look up D&D 5e cover because we never use that.
Should, it's really useful.
I know, it's really good, but...
Randall fixed that one in the Twitch chat. That makes sense.
Yes. Like, might grow up to the ceiling. See, that does make more sense. Is there still a collective word for stalagmites and tights? Rocky pillars?
I don't know.
Rocky spikes? Rocky boys?
Right. I think what I'm going to do, instead of taking a pot shot back...
I'll give you 3/4 cover, by the way. I think that would make sense.
Cool. I'm not going to, like, stick my head out or whatever to try and... Like I say, I'm not going to try and snipe anybody from back here. I'm just going to, with my back leaning up against the rocks, just sort of wave my hat up a little bit from the cover and be like, "Hey, we just killed your boss. I ain't got no quarrel with you. We can just walk out of here and nobody else has to die."
Roll me a persuasion check. I will give it that 7.
Oh man. Fuck's sake.
That was going to be a low check because these people really are just here for the paycheck. And if the person paying their checks are dead, they probably wouldn't be super motivated. But I think just... I think with a 7, they probably don't believe that you killed him. They probably don't believe that he's really dead. And it seems like they have not... Like, they're still, like, clambering. You still hear shots firing, you know, just in...
Fair
in
enough.
In terms of... Yeah.
I guess that would probably be my action, right? Since I've spent... Yeah, I've hunkered down instead of doing anything
else.
Yeah,
well, so we'll give you the cover and then that persuasion roll. So we'll go to Sean Marson.
Yeah, I don't have anything.
Sean Marson, you saw Jambalaya just run behind a stalagmite. And these people shot you a bunch. Yeah?
Can I just retcon that I did my second wind then as well so I get some health back?
Yes. Yeah, we can do that too. You kind of get behind the stalagmite, recover a little bit of health, catch your breath. And try to persuade them.
I'm gonna shoot at one of them.
Oh, you got a you got a max out for your nice. Second wind too. So you're gonna just like shoot through the people at the window, just kind of try to take out a couple bandits.
That's right. They're doing a lot of damage. So.
They are doing a lot of damage. So we do need to. Oof. So one pistol only got an 11. They're not like super armored or anything, but 11 is gonna miss them. But you got another dual wielding, so you can do another one.
See,
15 is gonna hit. So with that, you will fire two shots. We'll say like one at each window, and your left fire misses. But on the right window, you hit somebody square in the face, and you see them drop. And there's only five cowboys left. I say cowboys more. Bandits,
oh, let's kill these fuckers.
Well, yeah. I mean, we gave them the option.
Yeah, Jambalaya tried to talk him out of it. It's now to them. So I'm going to again have them roll for both. Does a 15 hit Sean Marston?
Nope.
Oh, lucky. So the ones that shot against Jambalaya rolled a 5, and you with cover, Jambalaya, you've got a +5 to AC. So okay. Like,
yeah, I got 21 AC then.
Yeah, so I don't think that was getting anywhere close to you. They're just all slamming into the stalagmite. And then Sean Marston, they're just, you know, I think like the window that you missed are all shooting at Jambalaya, and the one that you just dropped, one of their friends, are shooting at you, but they're kind of like distracted by their bandit friend just dying, and all miss you. And then we go to Jambalaya. Jambalaya, you don't think you're going to be talking your way out of this one?
Nope, I do not. Fuck me. All right, well, fuck it. I guess I will this time take a pot shot at one of these guys through the window. Whichever one I've got clean shot on. Go. How's the 12?
12 is going to hit this bandit swarm.
Nice. Well, it's a 10 in that case, plus... oh, yeah, shit. D6 from the swarm. 3. So 13.
Okay, yeah, you also take out one of the cowboys. In your window that you were firing into. So now it's down to just four bandits shooting at you guys. Sean Marston.
Let's shoot again.
Pop. Are you firing at a specific window?
Ooh.
Oh, God. Both of those are going to hit.
What's up, boys?
Ooh. Oh, Lord.
Hey, okay. That's,
oh, no.
That's going to be 9 total damage, 19 and 25 to hit. Nice.
I'll go for one person through each arm.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, you can fire both of those shots into one person.
Well, the
and
end
then it'll drop
too.
That one person. And, yeah, that'll drop one more,
yep.
One more of the bandits.
That works.
I shot him 6 times.
And it's down to 3 left, which means that when they roll these shots to hit you guys right now.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. 5 and then 11. So 5, Sean Marston. What's that do for you, Sean Marston? I got you?
Nope.
Did I get you?
I pulled my pants up.
And it goes right between your legs.
That's right.
doesn't even hit your jeans. What are you wearing? And you're a character, I guess you got brown pants on.
Yeah.
I don't know what those are. Cowboy pants. Yeah, all the... And then the other ones are just still firing into that stalagmite. And then we'll go down to Jambalaya. Jambalaya, there's only 3 cowboys left. We'll say that 2 are in your window, because I think Sean Marston has killed more, so Sean Marston's only got 1.
That's a big fat 14 to hit for 5 damage.
Oh, that's going to hit. The 5 won't necessarily kill.
One yeah. second, sorry.
Oh, yeah, your wasp might be able to finish one.
Waspy. With a full 6.
So it's not the bullet that kills them.
It's the wasps.
They get shot, and then a bunch of wasp stings hit them.
And
they're allergic.
I tell you what, as well, they also, the wasps pull things, or you know, can push things like 5 feet. So pull the fucker out of the window. Instead of blowing him backwards, the wasp pull him back forwards out through the window.
Yeah, and he topples through the window and hits the ground. Okay. Sean Marston, there are now only two bandits left. And now they're probably not liking their odds 2-on-2 when it was 7-on-2. So they're looking a little bit less confident now.
Pop, pop!
Pippity poppity poo.
All right, roll.
There it is.
I'm going to spread these shots out.
Okay. Share the love.
One each.
All right, one each. They are both going to be still standing now with a 7 and a 5 damage. Neither of them got dropped and killed, but they don't like bullets. Also, why am I invisible? There I am. They don't like bullets. So, yeah, it is now their turn, and now... One's going to shoot at each of you. Sean Marston, you are going to take this shot. Guess what? It will not do 27 points of damage. Instead, now, it will do... I don't even think it's going to be half of that. No, it's going to be 9 points of damage, Sean Marston. How's everybody looking? Is everyone okay?
I ain't too bad, especially after that second wind. 50 out of 76. So about
okay.
Well, 2/3 of my health.
Okay. Sean Marston, how are you doing? You got you okay? You still alive? Or you probably got more health than Jorunda does. I think Jambalaya is taking a lot more bullets.
Have 32.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You're probably feeling pretty good. You guys have been rolling pretty good tonight, and the bandits have been rolling pretty bad. All right, Jambalaya. There's two targets still, but they're both still hurt, so...
What's the range? What kind of distance are we talking?
I think you're only probably like 25, 30 feet away.
Well,
what's that?
Close the gap. Just run from behind cover, throwing down the rifle, taking up the claw hammer in one hand and the bowie knife in the other.
Oh my god! So you can get two attacks on.
Yeah, and then we're gonna try going for a melee attack on one of the dudes with the.
So he's still in this window. So you're like reaching into the window. I'm picturing like trying to like hook him with the claw hammer, pull him towards you, and like stab him with the fucking bowie knife.
Well, I was gonna try and hook one guy with the claw hammer and then throw the bowie knife into the other guy.
Like, okay.
Since we're splitting attacks now for prestige points. So we'll see what the light hammer does first, I guess. Roll. Light hammer is an 11.
That's gonna miss. It's barely missed this dude.
So whiff with that one because I'm concentrating more on throwing the bowie knife.
Okay. So we're sick. I didn't know if you were gonna change it up depending on how well that hammer
did. I'm committed to that.
Oh no! So you just hurled the bowie knife.
Sprums into the wall. Like,
oh my god.
Fuck.
And now it's going to be up to Sean Marston to... So, Sean, you just saw Jambalaya with both...
I just wanted to be cool. I'm sorry. Oh, god dang.
So, there's still just one person in each window, Sean Marston.
Pop, pop!
You hit them both.
That's how you do
it. So, Jambalaya tried to do some cool shit and, like, run up with a hammer and a bowie knife. And Sean Marston's just like... pulls out both his pistols, points one at each, and just fires, and they both drop these guys dead.
That's classic distraction maneuver there, what I did. It was fully intended just to draw their attention away from you while you did that silky smooth shooting like you always do, Sean. My God.
Thank you, baby.
That's all right. I love you more with every passing day, Sean. All right, let's get these... I'm going to pick up my stuff since I just threw it all away like a goddamn idiot.
I've got to collect my shit and pick up some bullets off these dudes as well, just in case.
Yeah, I don't know what the plan for you two is going to be.
Right. I think this is what we're going to do. We're going to have to answer a lot of questions when we go back in town. We got this here printing press.
Okay, I didn't think this was going to come into play.
What if we just get a little thing and we just sort of tell the whole story? So, like, Peter Wildhog Buck is a bastard. Here is the evidence. And then we'll sort of do a little, tell the story of what just happened here. He's been hiring mercenaries and blah, blah, blah. Financial fudgery framed us for the murder of Edna. Here is the evidence of the broken nap, blah, blah, blah. You can speak to Brandon about it. I'm sure he'll concur with us. And then if failing that, we can then say, hey, we got a bunch of mercenaries out in the woods. I don't know.
Okay. How about this? I feel like neither of you have probably ever used a printing press before.
No, I mean,
okay.
I don't expect that we can use it, but even if we do, I expect it'll come out horrible and bad, but I think it'll be funny. So,
I was thinking we'll do a roll, intelligence roll, and I think it's going to be you guys working together, so a group check. So let's have you both make an intelligence check. And to see if you can figure out how to make this work, because it's going to be, oh, look at that. Sean Marston with a -1 got a 17. And even Jambalaya's 13 is not terrible. But the way that group checks work, obviously, is that you both roll, and as long as one of you guys pass it, it'll work. So I think with you two both trying to figure it out, so like, I don't even know how printing presses work. As far as I can figure, you pretty much like set a template and then you can just like stamp it down onto a bunch of sheets of paper quickly.
I think you have like lead pegs that kind of like slot into it and then
yeah. So I think YouTube working together, I think it's pretty decent for I don't think Sean Morrison's like really doing everything by himself. I think both of you guys are like working pretty well together, like getting all the characters slotted into place, and then you start stamping down, and after maybe like 10-20 minutes, however long printing presses typically work, you guys end up having like a stack of papers that pretty accurately tell the actual true story about Peter Wildbuck Hogg's his corruption and how he was stealing from the town of Copper Reach and how he murdered Edna for getting too close to his financial fudgery. And you do have all, and even like the framing of the murder on you two. And we'll say that like you guys get it all printed down on like a single sheet of paper that you can easily distribute somehow. You do also know that like there were a ton of like wanted posters about your guys' faces, so as far as distributing these goes, that's probably going to be a different story, but you do have these like now sheets of paper kind of proclaiming your guys' innocence.
Cool. Well, I mean, I don't know if that'll be worth anything in the town, but at least we've done our due diligence. All right, well, we're going to have a search Mr. Wildhog himself, see if he's got anything cool or interesting worth taking away from his good self.
Okay, yeah, you can go up and kind of ramshackle his body, and I like how he literally just closed. Where did that go? Did I close it? Maybe I didn't close it. Oh, I did close it, but I had it on a different app. Yeah, you can search through his body, and you actually find that his revolver he was using. It's really unfortunate that he didn't actually get to use this, because it would have been pretty cool. But, you notice that I think it made take you guys a little while to figure out, at least like like a long rest to figure out exactly what this pistol can do. But you do notice that like It's got some kind of magic on the, on this pistol. Oh. It's not a normal pistol.
Well, dang.
When I say pistol, like a revolver.
Mm. Sure. All right. That's cool. Well, I'm going to take his badge as well, just for the souvenir.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Piece of shit. I'm going to spit on his body.
just in case I do forget, when we do this again, you guys don't know this yet in character, but what that pistol does is that it's got this thing called an arcane shot you can do, where it kind of overcharges the pistol and, it adds 1d6 fire and 1d6 cold Ooh. Damage to it. So it adds 2d6 of damage to it. So
and not all. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Yeah. So I know Sean Marston usually uses the revolver. So if he uses one of these and he hits with it, that'll be his regular damage plus 2d6, one fire, one cold, in case you guys are, I don't know, finding something on that. That matters.
Yeah, because Jambalaya is a multi-class. Our vote still only got one attack. But if that attack hits, it does a fuck ton of damage. Yeah. But yeah, Sean is the pistolero. For sure.
Yeah, give me that.
Give me that shit.
Yeah, so you guys will have to, like, you know, tinker with it a little bit, like, over a long rest, like, figure that shit out. But I'm sure I will forget to say it next time. So, I think with that, with the printing press papers and the new loot, I think you guys would be able to head back to... Are you going back to Copper Reach, or are you just going back home? Like, I mean...
I think,
you got those papers.
You know... I'll go speak to Jerry at the gate before we leave. So, Jerry.
Yeah, geez, how's it going? You killed my boss back there. Was that you? It was all this shouting and gunfire. Yeah, that was us, Jerry. We done killed him. But I would take it as a personal favor because you're going to be, like, kind of out of jobs now. It's all, old Gumbo and Job, we're probably going to come back here with some business opportunities at some point, because I tell you what, we got some business interests in the Witch Iron Mine, and we can always use friends like yourself, Jerry. So if you could just, as a little favor to me before you leave, you know, you can take whatever you want from this place, because, you know, Wild Hog ain't going to be stopping you, but... On your way out, if you could just pass around some of these here leaflets around Copper Reach, just affirming our innocence, me and Sean's going to go home and we're going to hold each other real tight. And quite frankly, I don't think that's none of Copper Reach's business. By Sean, of course, I mean Joe, because my name is not John Malai Pendergrass. But yeah, old Gumbo and Job's going to get up to all kinds of business back in the cabin, and we ain't got time to be handing out leaflets around Copper Reach. How's that sound? All right, Jerry? Yeah, why not? Yeah, all right. See you guys later. Bye.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. Because I was curious how the distribution of those pamphlets was going to go, and I like roping Jerry into doing it. I just
talk to myself for a couple of minutes.
I'm glad I had to do that too last time. I think it was last episode we talked to Jerry.
Yeah, you had me do it. So,
but yeah, so you've got the distribution plan for the pamphlets, and you're able to just head back up towards, I see your point. I believe it's a 2-day journey. I will have to double check that, of course, because the days matter in this campaign. Because your mine's profits that you can go to West Hollow and collect on. So I think it's just going to be just you two heading back on horseback to I see your point, and hoping that Jerry is able to spread the good word about your guys' innocence in Copper Reach so that you guys don't have Brandon or Brendan or Brenda coming to hunt you guys down. But yeah, I think that's a great stopping point. I had so much fun this episode. That was probably one of my favorite fights in this campaign yet, with the windows and the multiple people we were fighting. And yeah, that was a good one. So, Jerundu, you got anything you want to plug before we head out?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I've plugged Jesus. He's our Lord and Savior. And I'm just
he's a good dude, I hear.
No, I don't want to plug Jesus at all.
that sounds bad.
I'm a godless heathen. no, I would like to plug Rolf Weird, in which I play Silas Lancaster, who will certainly approve of my previous statements. And then, yeah, what else am I in? This is in which I play John Blair Pendergrass, whose accent I'd better get practicing because I've got a little bit rusty. And Modus Bloodsport Arena will be coming back at some point. Dice Talk, I believe, should be coming back, although Jeremy and I really need to get our asses in gear about that. Story time with Silas was one of the things I've been the most proud of that we've ever done. And it was seasonal for Halloween, but if you like ghost stories and spooky stories and tales of the paranormal and demons of the mind and of the, and not just of the soul, but of the mind, then you will find something to enjoy in one of the four entries of Storytime for Silas. Yeah, please check that out if you haven't already. It's an audio drama in which myself and some other very talented people read stories written by other very talented people, all of whom are connected in some way with the network. So yeah, check that out if you haven't. And I think that's everything that I do mostly. I hang out on Discord and talk about games a lot.
Yeah, stop by bit.ly/halfway to Discord, join our Discord, and then from there, join our Conan Exile server we just started up.
Good game.
It's a lot of fun. Sean, what do you want to talk about? Nothing?
Meh.
You're going to make me plug all of our stuff? Okay.
You know the routine by now.
Yeah, I know. I know. Sean says no, and then I got to plug the stuff that me and Sean are both on.
It's been enough episodes by now.
One thing I do want to mention is we've got 6 new badass Twitch emotes and Discord emotes, if that matters to you. So you just need to be a follower of ours to unlock all those really cool Majestic Goose emotes throughout all of Twitch. You can use them. So it's a very easy way to get 5 badass goose emotes. And yeah, you can check us out on we've got campaign 2 to Halfway to Heroes is rolling. It's a lot of fun. The new season of One Shot Onslaught is going to be starting soon. The finale is going to, part 1 is going to drop this coming Tuesday. It is Invasion of the Planet of Tarrasque. So it was a very fun adventure. And not deadly at all. And then Sean and I are going to be recording a lore and pour here later tonight after we drink some more. And yeah, check out Doom Clock. It is a monthly Doom stream and clock. Bi-weekly podcast. Doom Clock. Doom Clock.
Everybody should check out Doom Clock on the Majestic Goose Network.
And like Jerundu said, Storytime with Silas, seriously, that's only an annual every October podcast where I really enjoyed that. I know. That's so what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, anybody will like Storytime with Silas. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Uh-huh. Like, it's not a tabletop thing. It's just a horror anthology show where it's seriously 4 amazing stories that everybody will like. So check that out. It doesn't matter if it's not October anymore. You can check it out anytime throughout the year.
Nice, easily digestible, average about 30 minutes.
Yeah. There's like we got like a 13 minute episode. Then we got a 30 minute, 20 minute, 25 minute. So yeah, go check it out and just whatever, you don't have to listen to them in order. just whatever amount of time you've got at that time, queue up an episode that will fill that time gap. And then the last thing is please consider joining our Patreon, patreon.com/majesticgoose. We got a lot of cool bonus content on there. Just today, we had a vote go up for the topic of the Lore and Poor. We do early access to episodes of all the shows on the network, depending on, you know, how editing goes for me. You can get early access, you can get votes, you can get characters named after you on Halfway Heroes and stuff. There's a lot of other cool bonus. There might even be a Story Time with Silas bonus content coming up soon, with featuring Jerry Higgins
Hi everybody.
So you're gonna want to sign up for as low as $1 a month at patreon.com/majesticgoose. Last thing I want to ask you, I know I'm panhandling quite a bit here this episode, but last thing I want to ask you is to just go and rate and review all the shows on the network, not just Shitty Cowboys, every show on the Majestic Goose Network. Those ratings and reviews help us more than you probably could imagine, unless you have a podcast and you realize how important they are.
And as
they help you hit charting and everything.
And from a like less, you know, business point of view, they make us feel fucking really, really good about ourselves. Like
probably like once a week, I'll just check all the shows. And if you get a new 5-star rating review from someone you've never met and you read it, it's just like,
yeah, it makes it all worthwhile.
That's your day. Yeah. That is your day. Like you ride on that high throughout the entire day of just like, man, somebody liked my show.
Yeah.
So please do. And again, thank you all for watching and or listening to the podcast. If you only watch the stream, consider listening to the podcast. If you only listen to the podcast, consider watching the stream. We will be back in 2 weeks. That's not Thanksgiving, is it? No, Thanksgiving ain't on Saturdays, is it?
I don't fucking know what bullshit holidays you guys have.
Yeah, no, we'll be back. Thanksgiving's always on Thursdays. So we'll be back with full bellies of food, me and Sean, and we'll see you guys on the 27th. Bye, guys.
Bye.
A Majestic Goose Podcast.
Honk.